Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Fall calls for comfort. Mack Weldon's got essentials designed for cool days and timeless style. Their new Ace line combines comfort with sophisticated looks. Go to MackWeldon.com for 20% off your first order of $125 or more with code MACK25.
Welcome to Season 4 of the Chai Brave Podcast. This is your invitation to grab a cup of piping hot chai and get ready for chaivizations that nourish the soul and inspire your everyday. This season, we're diving deep into the world of sustainable living. More than ever, we need to find ways to live in harmony with our planet. So throughout the season, I'll be talking to climate tech entrepreneurs, exploring practical tips from experts, and uncovering the joy of living a life that's good for you and good for Mother Earth. Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Chai Break Podcast. A huge shout out to all our new listeners from across the globe who recently found us via our guest this season. We've journeyed through the season uncovering so many facets of sustainable living, from deep climate tech and reforestation projects to sustainable menstrual products, plant-based clothing, and so much more. And if you all know me by now, you know fashion has always held a special place in my life. It goes way back to the early 90s when I was a little girl watching my amma get ready, gliding on delicious shades of lipstick, always effortlessly stylish. I vividly remember all of her outfits. A lot of them for that day and age were lovingly handed down from friends who moved away abroad, embroidered pieces she'd crafted herself, and others just, you know, stitched by our local neighborhood tailor. I never thought much of it back then, but years later, while I was in the thick of it, working in the retail industry in New York and slowly unraveling the layers of what sustainability really means, those memories began to resurface. They shaped how I saw fashion, both its impact and its potential. Which brings me to today's guest. Picture this. I am in my early 20s, wandering through the buzzing shopping streets of Bangalore when I stumble upon the most charming little boho store, Levitate. It had this eclectic, artsy vibe that felt very familiar because I saw my mom have stacks of boho bangles, you know, wooden bangles, you know, vivid shades of clothing. So I remember that first time I went to Levitate. And since then, I went many a times. I took my friends there and I always left inspired. And over a decade later, more than a decade later, I found myself connecting with the founder on Instagram, Meghna Khanna. Meghna is nothing short of a powerhouse. She's a prolific entrepreneur, a style therapist, and a brand consultant for women-led startups. She founded Bangalore's iconic store that I just talked about, Levitate, from 2002 to 2020. And then she launched the Bindi Project. She also co-founded the Pre-Loved Co., a social cause enterprise, and is a passionate sustainability evangelist. Oh, and did I mention? She's also a certified motorcycle coach and a Limca Book of Records holder. Wow, that's quite the bio. Welcome to the Chai Break Podcast, Meghna. And I couldn't be more thrilled to have this chaivization with you.
Oh, thank you so much, Vetha. Thank you for having me. And like you said, it's been a long time coming. This has been a long journey. And it's interesting how people meet and then you know, move apart. And there's like the familiarity. I think that can be Bangalore. I feel a little bit of old world Bangalore, and it's been so kind to me, you know. So thank you. Thank you for having me on your podcast. I'm very excited.
Yeah. Before we dive into all things, what you're doing currently, let's dial back a little bit. You come from an army household, which means you moved Air Force. Air Force.
Yes.
And so you moved around a lot growing up, right? So if someone just is listening to this podcast and is learning about you for the first time, it might seem like, you know, you've taken on a variety of roles and ventures. But since I've been following you closely for the last couple of years, there are certain themes around travel, a love and appreciation for all things handicraft to handloom, a lot of women role models in your life. And I see that fierce feminist in you comes through so vibrantly, just like your personality, in all of the projects that you've taken on. So tell us about those formative years and what led you to actually start Levitate.
So, like, there were, like, being an Air Force kid, being a defendant, you end up traveling a lot and seeing the country and the countryside. And really the biggest city that I have, like, moved around, it was much later in my life, but it was always the smaller towns mm-hmm. and that we grew up in. And it was always the little gullies, the lanes, the by lanes that had literally like the streets with no names. You know, it was just the secret lanes, the secret gullies that I would find myself happiest in. And it was always the stuff that was being made there. And again, inspired by my own mother, like you. You know, being a teacher, being a, you know, a defense wife. And what happened there was always having this like personal style. So you are, you know, she is a singer. She used to sing on like stage on at all these parties and, you know, have this like this sari and that sari and, you know, all of that. Like it was a lot of swag, you know, with all these aunties, you know, back in the, not that I would ever tell them that I was impressed with them back then. Okay.
Exactly.
Because I was a rebel. I was mm-hmm. always on. Mm-hmm. I was always outside. I was always outdoors. I was hanging out. I was playing with the boys. I was learning how to ride motorcycles, and I was a rebel. And I think back to just wanted to be outside. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was me. I mean, just travel and being outdoors, and always loving the handmade. Anything. It just did kind of stand out for me. And during school, during college, it was okay because it was just all around you. You didn't really give it much thought. It was not something that I never did anything. I never made anything with my own hands. And my mother did it for me. Like whatever was my school project, my mother would finish it. I would never complete anything. I did not learn how to cook, stitch, sing, bake, you know, anything. I did not. I was just outdoors. So coming from that, but like you said, it was the travel. I think it was about being able to see every, you know, every nook and corner of the country as much as possible. And that really shaped me. And, you know, it brought me, again, it was the reason that I moved to Bangalore. It was like, oh, I've not lived in this city. I finished my master's. I done my MBA. I was working mm-hmm. corporate in Bombay and decided to quit it all and kind of, you know, relocate to a different city that I had never lived in. And it was just about, okay, let me go see how that rolls.
Mm-hmm.
And within 6 months of moving to Bangalore, I had started Levitate. And it was really, it was serendipity. It was amazing mm-hmm. that it mm-hmm. went
away. And you started curating these, you know, handicraft, handloom pieces from all across India, right?
Yes. So because there was a big gap, for me, it's always been about filling in the gap.
Yes.
I like to do that. I'm not a competitive person. I just believe in doing the things that I like and I want to. So it was a lot of that. And at that time, I have to tell you, you know, Shweta, that the country is so big, as we all know, and there's a huge, you know, North India, South India.
Yes.
There is a lot of distance between the two. Let's mm-hmm. put it like that.
Mm-hmm.
Flights were out of the question. And this is, we're talking at the turn of the century, and mm-hmm. flights were like expensive and not really very conducive. And I had to take like 46 hour bus journey. I mean, train journeys to travel from Bangalore to Rajasthan. And that was only like thrice a week that there were trains
Yeah.
So it was a very interesting time because, again, you had no choice but to slow down, to rest, to meet, to read, to operate, you know, so and meet so many interesting people along the way. So that kind of continued with Levitate that I got to do for many, many years. 18 years is really quite something to have started.
It's a very long time.
It was just a lark. I told my parents that I was quitting my job and moving to Bangalore, that I'll look for another one. But I had like really zero intention of doing that. I was trying to go back to the corporate world, was my
And this was obviously before, you know, the time of social media, before there were pop-ups and mailers and markets, you know, the way we shopped, the way consumers found, you know, local boutiques and shops, the whole vibe was very, very different.
Yeah, at that time in Bangalore, there was only designer stores and then there was like stuff from China, like on the street. There was nothing in the middle. So I had to fill that gap.
And how did that turn, you know, from there you went on to start the Pre-Love Co., which is, I love how you call it a social cause enterprise, you know, or what we call today, you know, for those listening, a thrift store. But it's curated again, you know, very, very carefully curated. So how did that happen? And at the time when you started, what was the response? Because, you know, when I always talk about sustainability, and I'm sure you'll agree, sustainability was before it ever became a buzzword, you know, this was a way of life for us, you know, especially from the culture we come from, the country we come from, you know, hand-me-downs and, you know, repairing what we had and all of that was just ingrained in us. But I feel like as Indians and, you know, our exposure to the, you know, global West started increasing, at some point it became taboo. It was looked down upon. So what was the kind of response you got when you started Pre-Love & Co.? And who are the kinds of people that, you know, who are your customers who are coming to you?
So it's very interesting, actually, that the Pre-Love Co. was started by my friend Mariam Beg. And she started this in 2016-17. And she had been a model and old Bangalorean. And again, like, you know, traveling the world and seeing how, you know, all the best buys are coming out of thrift stores in London or, you know, in Amsterdam or whatever. And then, of course, realizing, coming back and realizing that, you know, you yourself have lived like such a life that of plenty. And, you know, you have so many friends who have so much and getting them to, you know, donate their clothes that they weren't using. And she started this. And I think she found it very difficult at that time. And what happened was that I came into the picture when COVID happened and I happened to shut my shop because honestly, I'd already been feeling like this whole thing about production and creating products. So if you were to speak about sustainability, I mean, we were like, we were doing upcycled newspaper bags and we were doing upcycled clothes and we were doing stuff before even the word was, you know, a buzzword. Yeah. So that was not the thing. But at the same time, it was a bit like, how much more, you know, how much more will you consume kind of, how much more will I produce? You know, how much more are we going to just, so anyway, there was a little bit of a, disparity between what I was feeling and how I was running my store. So I, when COVID came, it was disheartening to shut, but there was somewhere there was a relief, you know, and I took over the Pre-Love Co. and it was about creating a vibe because I said, we're not selling just clothes, you know, we are selling a whole belief system. And the whole thing about, if you talk about sustainable fashion or circular fashion, I have to say that my first pair of Levi's was actually off a street cart in Jodhpur, Rajasthan for 45 rupees. I mean, I feel like the stories that, you know, you don't know, we spent two paisa on going to school in a Vivok.
That's right.
But it was just 45 bucks and it was off a thela. It was off a push cart and it was obviously it had come as aid or some calamity or the other, which never met its goal, you know, unfortunately. But it was the best fit. It was my biggest prized possession.
Yeah.
Because it was not even in the town that I lived in that I would have had a Levi's store at that time in the early 90s. And it was just, it fit me like a glove. And I wore it for like many, many years, you know. So that was a memory. And coming back to the Pre-Love Co. And, you know, the thing about what I think the West doesn't understand is that, like you spoke, India has always been about sustainability. And, you know, we talk about whether it was hand-me-downs from the aunts and the cousins, or it was, do you know that the clothes that I would sell at Levitate, they were made out of saris. They were dresses and tops and, you know, all of these, you remember, they were like these backless, strapless, all of that beautiful things made out of saris. But entire country's collection used to happen with, of these secondhand saris would happen with in exchange for utensils and vessels. And these guys would go around collecting it. And there were these few centers in the country where these saris would then be upcycled into garments.
Oh, see, I know this side of the story. I don't know that side of the story.
Yeah. Imagine the whole collection across the country and it coming to a few like locations like this.
Yeah.
And then they were separated into brocade and silk and, you know, printed silk and plain and whatever. And then, you know, there's a there's an entire industry that was thriving from that. So, and also what happens is that why did it become something that got looked down upon is because the whole joint family, the larger family structure, that changed.
Yes, it started shrinking.
The people moved to cities that they didn't know their neighbors. They didn't have family in the same city. They were nuclear. That's when nuclear families happened. And, you know, you don't have your sisters and your friends to share. You don't know your neighbor.
Yeah.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
So that's where I feel that things changed. Like a women started working. They had, they have their own money. They're earning, they're earning their own money. But again, you don't have time to go out to spend it. So you're shopping online, and then you're buying stuff that doesn't fit you. And then, you know, you've missed out the chance to return it.
Yeah.
So we get like donations now at the Pre-Loved Co. Post-COVID, when I've taken over, we get donations, which are labels intact, price tags intact. Multiple pieces, different sizes of the same thing sometimes.
Yeah.
So I think people have realized that, I mean, COVID taught us a lot. And one of the main things was that all you need is friends, family, and food on the table, you know. You can just, you don't really need much else. So I think that the whole thing has changed a lot. And we get a lot of people giving us donations. The thing is that we don't even pay for it. It's one of Bangalore's only charity thrift shops. So people send their clothes, they send it via the drivers, the porter, they send it via, you know, porter service. And we curate, we segregate. It's a lot of work, but it really feels good to be a part of something that can give back. However we're working it, because each time we have overheads and everything, but to be able to give back really means a lot. And we're very, I mean, I'm very proud and very happy to be a part of this journey, you know.
You know, something about, you know, mainstream fashion versus something, somebody going to a thrift store and shopping. Because fashion, you know, as they say, fashion is for the masses. You know, style is personal. And when I look at you, you're the true embodiment of that statement. Because as someone, you know, I have worked my way through the fashion and trend noise, you know, in the retail industry in New York. I'm curious to know, who were your fashion inspirations growing up? And how did you find your style expression, which is the best and the most finest form of maximalism I have seen? And you just carry that off so well. Yeah, you're a true inspiration.
Thank you so much. So I think that growing up and even today, if you were to tell me to conform, I'd find it very difficult. If you told me to, you know, this is probably the only black sari that I have, like in my, you know, in my closet, because it's not my jam mostly. But, you know, just I think I often tell whoever comes to shop at the Pre-Loved Co. and every time we're doing a podcast or we're talking about this is that, you know, fashion has already gone out of style. It's already, whatever you talk about today, if you were to see something, it's already, if you get it done or you buy something, it'll already be done in just a few months. So yeah. I now can see it. Like when now that I'm running the Pre-Loved Co., I can see something that's so trendy right now. It's trending so hard right now that I say, oh my God, this next year, we're going to get so many of these skirts or we're going to get so many of outfits are going to be coming our way because, you know, everybody thinks that we can donate it to a shop and then we'll just feel better about ourselves. But the one thing that has come around and that's really interesting is that, you know, the best way to help somebody is to help yourself. So please, it's like a lot of people reach out and say, listen, I just want to get this stuff out of my house, out of my closet. They're good condition. They're great pieces. Just doesn't work for me. Please, I'll send it to you. You don't have to do anything. Wow. How did this movement happen? I don't know. It's amazing. I love it.
And also, I feel like, you know, you also have the other side of also being a stylist. So I feel like that's another added layer to, you know, someone who comes to the store to shop. You almost like, you know, because I feel like a lot of people, when you, once you get sucked into that trend, trend, micro trend, and, you know, this season's trend, it's very hard to like, you don't know who you really are. You're just following someone's style it and someone is saying, you know, this is what's trending. And it's almost about like, okay, is this, you know, a good fit? For the way I feel, do I feel comfortable in it? Is this the right fit for my body? Like all of those questions, I feel like it becomes, style is personal. And how do you work through that? Or have you helped, you know, customers or your clientele?
It's good fun because when I am at the garage, I do, like, I'll be like, okay, somebody's going in a change and I'll be like, throw some things. So I'll just walk around and we'll be like, try this, try that, try this, try that. And out of that, I think about like 80%, people are just like, that's it. I'm just taking all of these and, you know, let me know when you're here next. But, you know, also thrift shopping in itself is an experience. To really, and we encourage people to come in and try, and then buy what you love. That's the key here is, unless you're going to do a thrift flip. Like, so if you're going to take something, that's my favorite thing to do. It's like to buy stuff and then take it to the tailor and then make something else out of it, like, or fix it. And it's never enough. I'm just so, you know, I'm such a pain to myself sometimes. But I'm just, I will take something and I'll be like, okay, I want to make this 6 inches shorter, or I have to make slits in it, or I have to add something to it, or I'm going to, you know, and then nobody has it. And then nobody else has what you have. And I think, so while we are like saving, you know, hundreds and thousands of clothes from landfills every year at Pre-Loved, but all that, when you tell somebody that this is what you're doing and this is how great you are, as you know, as you're returning back to the environment and everything, people are just like, okay, but how much is that dress? You know, give me value at the end of the day. I'm getting value for my contribution, which is interesting. And I feel that that's something that also works, you know, for people to feel good about themselves while they donate and while they shop. And I think that works. But at the end of the day, it's like, how am I looking? How am I feeling about how I'm looking in this dress? It also, it can be found in at the Pre-Loved Co. instead of going to a fast fashion brand. Because for me personally, as a stylist, I mean, like I said, all the work that is being done is amazing. And I'm so proud and happy to be a part of it and to be a part of this journey, you know, and helming things, you know, being at the helm of things in Bangalore City. But at the same time, what happens is that all these big fast fashion brands are so homogeneous. It's so boring. You cannot just find, like you said, find your personal style, because it is going to give you such great joy and it'll make fashion so much easier for you.
And versatile. And that's what will, you know, stay in your wardrobe longer. And that in itself is a sustainable, you know, fashion lifestyle.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, like I said, the most sustainable a piece of garment is the one that you already own and it's in your cupboard, you know. So just, I suggest a lot of people to shop your closet, or if you're not, cleanse your closet and then come and drop it off at Pre-Loved Co. and, you know, shop if you like. So that's something.
So, you know, something you were talking about earlier, right? with all your business ventures is fill in the blanks. You talk about the sustainable differential advantage.
Yeah.
Create that with whatever you do, you know, is one of the things I remember in one of our conversations that we had. So tell us the gap that you saw and how you came about with the Bindi project, which to me actually is more than just a Bindi because it's an ode to the feminine divine in all of us. And of course, you know, it's rooted in upcycling, which we'll get into, and also empowering women and the hands that make them. So tell us more about this journey and the whole process.
So it was a conversation, you know, after we had shot Levitate and we were just chatting. I was chatting with somebody and talking about Shringar and the dress up. And it was like, oh, you know, that the Bindi was, my grandmother used to own a gold Bindi. And that was something that was handed over to my mother as a piece of jewelry. And, you know, I received that. And I was just like, wow, I never knew something like this was possible, that there was something like a gold Bindi.
Mm.
Yeah. And then this conversation happened with different people across different states of the country. And it was like, it happens in Kashmir. It happens in Nepal. It happens in, you know, in south of India. Like it was across.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did a little more research and it was like, oh, the Bindis that we know as stick-on have just come around in the 80s as a use and throw. Like, you know, it's only started in the 80s, these sticker sheets that were made and then made with felt and then women use them and the Shabana Azmi and, with Apatil and all that, right? So I wanted to create something that was not a use and throw item.
Right.
And each of my Bindis comes with a glue, like an adhesive, a skin safe adhesive that you can actually reuse your Bindis when you feel like that they're losing their juice.
Yeah.
And the whole thing about, like you said, it's so much more than a Bindi.
Mm-hmm.
I've been selling stuff to women, you know, seeing how they feel about themselves, how they speak to themselves, what we tell ourselves when we look in the mirror, you know. It's so interesting just to be there to listen to women and what they tell themselves. So it's so much more than just a Bindi. But it has definitely been a power expression, you know, it's been about Shringar, it's been about the dress up, it's been about the, you know, completion.
Yeah.
For me, it's a complete look. Now, if I see somebody not in a Bindi project Bindi, I'm just like,
speaking of which, I have my Bindi project Bindi right
there. Right there. So gorgeous. I'm only excited about my own stuff. Like, and I'm like, is it cringe? Is it like, is it weird?
It comes from a place of passion.
So I'm just like, oh my God, I'm looking at myself and I'm only like, oh, it's so funny. I'm like looking at myself. So that has been, and you know, the women that I work with and single moms, and you know, one of them is a Muslim girl and she started off working, like, she's like, I need some work. So she'd come in the evening. What are my plans? And you know, just do a little bit of household work. And then the timing wasn't working for her. She had young kids of her own and she was, her husband had just recently left her. And then it was like, okay, can I do of this work? What work are you doing? I'm like, I'm just working. She's like, why don't I do it for you? And I'm like, okay, why don't you try? Like, take it and go home and come back. So she lives very close by to me. And every now and then we kind of sit together and then I'll tell her, like, you know, Kareena Kapoor wore your Bindi. And, you know, somebody else wore your Bindi. Sonam Kapoor wore your Bindi. And then I'm like, okay, now your Bindis are going to Dubai. And she's like, I also want to go. Like, like, send me also. And I'm just like, send me also. I was ready to go. But it has been, you know, it has been interesting. And the money, then she'll be like, no, I don't want the money right now. And, you know, my kids have to go to school. So we're going to collect that. And then when I tell her the amount, like, this is what, you know, I owe you. And then she'll be like, all this I have earned, like,
you're empowering. Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, this is, you're not, you don't need it. Because again, money comes and for so many of us, we celebrate with it. It's gone. Mm-hmm. It's finished. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, it's not coming. This is for your kids' education. So she's like, yeah, I don't even want it.
Yeah.
She's like, it's 50 kids, just give me some $1,000. I just want to, you know, a little bit. I'll go get them something, but I don't want to. So it is changing. And again, it's not the same thing as having them sit in my workspace, spend the entire day there.
Yeah.
It's about take it home, do your thing. Give it back to me in a couple of days whenever you're ready. So it's a lot of back and forth and, you know, and a lot of trust and respect in this format.
And you've also, like, all of your, the materials you use are all upcycled, right?
Yeah. So, so now what happened is that we know so many women, right? All of us put together, we can make a list of, you know, founders and creators and amazing women who are doing great work. So we bring, we brought in, we started off with leather upcycling because that was when I, this whole thing started with, you know, the punch. I'll show you what I got here. So I'm just sitting with the leather scraps, you know, so these are going to become, these have come from my friend's brand of bags.
That's awesome.
So these will become bindis and they're so cool because this is something that, again, they started because I found my, my leather punches, you know, they're these, you get a hammer and you have a punch start, make different shapes in that. And I found that. So that's when I was like, okay, let me work with this. And then I found all my broken bits of jewelry from Levitate. And I was like, okay, let me create something like that. So that was when, that was actually the first time, Shweta, that I worked some with my hands and I created something, you know, because I'd never done that. I used to sell so much. I used to create in the sense of, okay, put this together. You do this, you make that.
Curating it and putting it together as opposed to making it.
Yeah. All the jewelry, I used to sell big nose pins, but it was all made by the karigar. I never put it together. I just put the whole thing together.
It's wonderful.
I just knew what I wanted to look like, or I wanted somebody else to look like. I wanted what the brand, what the product that I wanted to sell, but I wasn't making it till I started the, you know, bindis. And then I would sit like this with my headphones on and, you know, my music and my Devi chants. And I would take that time to just, you know, create something with my own hands and feel that energy. And it's been a very special journey with that as well.
Yeah. No, I think ever since I've seen you and started following the Bindi project, I feel like it's taken off and it's soaring to new heights every single day. And it's just a testament to, you know, when you drive from a place of passion and purpose and impact, you know, I think that just comes through in everything that you do.
Yeah, I guess that is the truth. And you know, I also have to say that it's also been about swimming upstream for many years, you know, like when you're a nonconformist and you really, you really don't get in line. And, you know, at the end of the day, what happens is that some point when it actually comes as recognition or outward recognition of your work.
Yeah.
Then you're like, oh, okay. You feel like, you know, now you've arrived in a way.
Yeah. That's true. That's true.
But it is overwhelming because you fought and you fought and you fought at every step you fought just to keep doing what you want to do. And so it is very interesting. And I hope it just gives a little bit of a, you know, of an inspiration to other people that you don't have to conform. It can't be about, you know, just getting your kids to dull their shine or to not be weird or whatever it is.
Exactly. To fit in, right? I think we try so hard to fit in all our lives. And I think once you're, again, like, you know, what you say and what you've done is like just being your authentic self. You know, you will, like, you know, people will turn heads and be like, oh, what's going on? What is she doing? And eventually they'll come around. You know, I think you just have to push through that.
Now they're like, oh, I always knew you had it in you.
So before we wrap up, you know, let's, since we're on the Chai Break podcast, let's quickly dive into, like, spill the tea. How do you like your chai?
Oh, see, I tell you, I love my chai. Oh my God. So a lot of, like, adrak, ginger, like a little bit of ginger, not a little, like decent. And, but, you know, it's become, it's, and it's evolved over the years. So I've been drinking chai for like half my life, right? More than many, many years. And it's changed the way that it used to be. You know, earlier when you grew up in Rajasthan, it's like half milk, half water. It's cooked a lot. It's really like, it's really strong chai and it's like that. But now, of course, it's also got, I got a little bit of my mom in me that the chai has to be brought to a boil, shut with a little, you know, lid and then let it sit, let it simmer for a little bit. And then you kind of, but it is the perfect chai. I cannot have it any other way.
Is
there somebody can maybe try, they'll own me. Like, they'll own me. They'll give me chai in the morning. That's it. I don't need to eat food at all.
And what is a snack pairing that you love to enjoy with your chai?
Actually, now I've stopped all of that. But yeah, biscuits back in the
biscuits,
day. But
okay.
And, you know, it used to be like tandoori roti at some point. It used to be, you know, butter toast at one point. But yeah.
It's evolved.
My chai.
And the last question, what is Meghana's mantra in life?
Like we spoke about it, it's an SDA. So the sustainable differential advantage. I live my life with that mantra. It's just, how do you create something that can be continuously, you know, creative and it does something different from other people and or other things. And it creates an advantage for my life, the people who work with me. So that would be the SDA.
Thank you so much for this time and, you know, this inspiring conversation. I have learned so much and I am left very, very inspired by this.
I'm so glad we finally could do this. Thank you, Shweta. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So until next time, bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for season 4 of the Chai Break podcast. We hope you leave here feeling inspired. To stay connected, follow us on Instagram at chai_break_podcast. Want even more sustainable goodness? Sign up for our monthly newsletter at chaibreakpodcast.substack.com, packed with exclusive content, new episode drops, and more. And don't forget to like, share, and leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Your support means the world to us.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.